So today we're starting the new series. It's called Q&A. And let me say, we've had several questions. You can still get a question in if you would like. I'm not opening the floor for questions for obvious reasons. I have to study some of this stuff and because I don't know everything, but I'm willing to research and look and that. But if you would like to submit a question, you can message me on Messenger or Facebook, or you can text it to me at 870-307-2604. Now, there's not a lot of pastors give out their cell phone numbers, but there's mine. And for questions, you can text those to me, and I will make it something I can answer. I don't know who the Antichrist is. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. And you know, Jesus said when he was here, he didn't even know. So and don't embarrass me, okay? There's some subjects I just soon not deal with. I will if I have to, but I don't want to get into that. I've had some very difficult questions. Joe Young sent me 6 or 8 that are just, that guy's smart. And he's had some very, very, very difficult questions about hell. And we'll be dealing with those later. But today, we're going to be dealing with one question that is multifaceted. There's a lot that goes into this question. And the question covers a lot of different areas, and we're going to deal with it today. And here's the question. Let me get my glasses on. If heaven is bliss and love and perfect and that is what he has planned for us as believers. And then what is he preparing us for here on earth where there are so many bad things happening? If he created us in Christ's image, why should or would we be born of sin? If he doesn't condemn us, is this not a condemnation? Good question. It opens the door for a lot of different nuances that we're going to try to cover some of those. Let me give you in 3 words or 3 phrases what the Bible is about. This will help us understand the Bible better. This is very simplistic, but Genesis 1 and 2 is about paradise. Genesis 3 through the time of Christ is about paradise lost. Paradise lost. From Jesus through the book of Revelation, it's paradise regained. That's what we need to see about that. If we don't understand what's going on, you know, the key to understanding the Bible is to understand the first 3 chapters of the book of Genesis. You see God's original design. You see what he meant for things to be. You see about man and the whole thing of choice, and then we see the fall of man. But there's a lot of things that we can just logically think about if we think about original design. And a lot of times people think, well, you know, God makes people sick. Did he make them sick in the garden? Was man designed to be sick? Well, no. That is a result of man's sin. And so there's a lot of things that if we'll reason through, we can kind of see what's going on. So the first part of the question, it's not really a question. If heaven is bliss and love and perfect, and that's what he designed for us, and it will be, because again, he originally created man in a garden. He created him a human being. He gave him a perfect human body that was not mortal. Now, mortal means death doomed. He gave him a body that he could live in forever. Okay, that's in the beginning. In the end, we're not going to be little angels with wings sitting on clouds strumming harps. Did you know that? You're going to have a physical body. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a body that you can live in throughout eternity. We're not going to be spirits. We're going to have bodies. We're spirit, soul, and body. And we'll be that in the new heaven and in the new earth. We started out that way, and we're going to end that way. With a perfect body, we're going to end with a perfect body. But something happened in the middle that caused it to mess up. And so this is where we begin to see one question that was asked, and I'll go ahead and answer this one. Why are people born with disease? Why are people born with deformity? Is that God's design? Well, if we go back and we look at original intent, if we look at original design, man was not designed to die. Okay? He was not designed to die. He was not mortal. He had an eternal, it had the capability of dying because God gave man a choice. But original design was he was designed to live in that body that God gave him from now on. It wouldn't die. It wouldn't, like we are today. I don't think it would grow old. And I don't think we're going to be old in heaven. Aren't you glad? We're not going to wear eyeglasses. We're not going to be bald headed. I hope we're not going to be fat. Because I've been fat most of my life. But I hope we're not going to be that. We're not going to have disease. There's not going to be calamity. There's not going to be wicked people. There's not going to be wickedness. It's going to be blissful. It's going to be peaceful. It's going to be perfect. And we're going to live with God forever. And that's a wonderful thing that we have to look forward to. But right now we live in the cruddy here and now. And if you look out there, it doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse. And I think there's a couple of reasons. One reason is that there's a whole lot more people alive now than there ever has been before. Number two, it's the progression of wickedness. Sometimes sin will start out as a little bitty thing. You know, when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. When sin conceives, it brings forth death. So there's a progression that it doesn't get better, it gets worse. It gets more magnified. And we could talk about specific sins. There's people who will start out with a low, just like in pornography. And pornography will start out with looking at pictures. And then it progresses and it gets worse and worse and worse. And then it gets into violence. It gets into a whole lot of different things. So there is a progression to sin that doesn't get better. It gets worse. And we see that. So we're seeing a world that is more wicked. There are people who are inventing wicked new things that mess people up. And listen, the whole design of sin is this. The devil wants to take away from you the greatest thing that God gave you, and that is your capacity to choose. Choice is one of the greatest gifts that God gave mankind. It's kind of like a two-edged sword. It's a blessing and a curse. But one of the things that differentiates us from all the rest of creation, we are the only creature that God created that had the capacity and the right and the ability to choose. Now, angels chose, but we know that man was given that responsibility in the Garden of Eden. And he says, everything that I have created, you can freely partake of. I've only got one restriction. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now, you can eat if you want to. It's your choice. But you shall surely die. We know that man ate, and we know that man died that day. He didn't die physically, but he died spiritually and began to die physically. In those early, early years, those people lived to be over 900 years old. People say, well, they made time different then than that. No, not that much. They lived to be a long, long time. They were not conditioned to die. But through the years, as man has gotten older and older and sin has worked more and more and more, the lifespan of man has shrunk more and more and more and more. If somebody lives to be 120 now, they're really old. That would have been a baby back then. I mean, that would have been just a young. They were having babies at 120. Dear me. I'm kind of glad we're not doing that no more, aren't you? I know Joe and Miranda fretted about having one at 39 and 38. I mean, can you imagine 100 and something years old and having children? Evidently, Eve had children for several hundred years. And they just were not conditioned to die. But it began to work in them. And within that, the seed of that sin opened the door to disease and other things that begin to work in the DNA and in the body of mankind, and his lifespan began shorter. And disease began to work, and that's where deformity came from. God never intended for children to be born deformed. That was not his intent. You say, well, if he's a good God, why does he allow that to happen? It's because he allowed men to make choices. And it opened the door. When choices bring consequences. What if you raised your children? I hope you don't do this. That you gave your children the right to choose anything they wanted to do, and you protected them from their bad consequences. What would that child turn out to be? Awful. Yeah, awful is true. And so what we as parents have to do is to teach our children the right things to choose. And then when they choose, there are consequences to their choices. You know what? And when they're little and you paddle their little behinds, that's a consequence of a bad choice. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm a firm believer in that. If you'll discipline when they're little, when you can control some situations and you can bring about consequences, that they're still facing consequences, but they're not facing the full force of their consequences, there'll come a time in their life, if you don't do that, they'll make choices that you can't cover. They'll be in trouble with the law. They'll be in trouble with society. It may even cause them to die prematurely. And that's why there with choices, there's consequences that come along with those choices. Those are not necessarily God's judgment on us. It is just, God sees what sin will do. Okay? God sees what sin will do. Sin is terrible. Sin is a terrible thing because it kills, steals, and destroys. Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and life more abundant. He says, but listen, you have to listen a little bit. God frees us from our sin, but he doesn't free us from consequences. And somehow we need to, a lot of people think, well, you know, God orchestrates all of this and he's using bad things to teach us, and he's using bad things to mold us and to shape us. No, they're just consequences to choices that people make. If I do stupid things are going to happen to me. Okay? Now, God is always there to work in any situation of our life. Here's the good news. There's not anything that we can do that he hasn't anticipated, and he doesn't know that he cannot. You do this, he said, well, you know what? There's just nothing I can do for them. The only thing that you can do that's irredeemable is to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When you reject God's way of salvation, there's nothing he can do for you. But there's not a sin that you could commit that God couldn't turn around and make it work out. He did it with King David. He did it all through the Bible. We saw it. Paradise lost. Paradise reclaimed. God, despite our sin, when we were sinning, when we were against God, when we were cursing God, when we were doing all of that, Jesus died for us. And you know, he wasn't there to condemn us, even though we were condemned. Listen, we're self-condemned. All right, let's read some verses, and we're going to get into this. If heaven is bliss and love and perfect, and that is what he's planned for us, then what is he preparing for us here on earth where there are so many bad happenings? All of that happens because we live in a fallen world. God is at work in our fallen world, and he will work in our lives, and he'll work in our heart to work his purpose in and for us. But it's not like he's taking this cancer and he's putting it on you so he can make you do what he wants you to do. That's not the way he works. I just don't believe that. I mean, if I took a hot cigarette and I stuck it to one of my kids to teach him not to touch a hot stove, what kind of parent would I be? We put people in jail for that. But yet a lot of Christians accuse God of doing that. I've heard people say, well, God loves you so much he'd break your leg. Boy, that's heartwarming, isn't it? I may break my leg, but God didn't do it, okay? It's a result of something that happened in the Garden of Eden. And it may be the result of some choices that I personally have made in my life that brings consequences. I had a guy one time, bless his darling heart and stupid head. We know that smoking cigarettes can cause cancer, okay? We do know that. And I'm not here condemning anybody who smokes cigarettes. If you want to do that, that's your choice. It's not a very good one. I start to say it's a dumb one. It is. I did it. I know. It's a hard habit to break, but it's one worth breaking. But I had this guy one time. He says, you know what? I know I shouldn't smoke cigarettes. I'm just going to smoke and believe God I won't get cancer. Well, he may not get cancer, but it's not because, well, he didn't get cancer. He died, but he didn't get cancer. But listen, your chances of getting cancer are higher if you make the wrong choice. And we know that cigarettes causes cancer. So you increase your chances to have cancer if you do certain things. And you say, I can't believe God let me get cancer. No, God tried to keep you from getting cancer. You just wouldn't listen. Okay? He says that we're supposed to honor God in our body. We're not supposed to destroy the temple of God with the dumb things that we do to it. You can drink it into cirrhosis of the liver. You can smoke it till it's pickled. I mean, until you're full of disease. And I know, I saw my dad smoke for 50 years. And I saw him die of COPD. Tomorrow will be 5 years ago that he went to heaven. Thank God he went to heaven. But he could still be alive today if he would have dealt with his smoking at an earlier age. But it was his choice. And for me to say, well, God was working. No. God tries to keep us out of trouble, and we do everything we can to get into trouble by the things that we get addicted to, by the choices that we make in life. We get ourselves into trouble. And then we blame God. God's not your problem. God is your solution. Okay. You say, well, I know people who get cancer that never smoked. I do too. But let me just say this. If you do things that can cause cancer, you're increasing your chances to get cancer. Okay? I mean, I believe in exercise. I know that if I'll choose a life of exercise, I increase my chances of living a long, healthier life. That exercise is not a guarantee that I'll live a long, healthy life, but I increase my chances of living a long, healthy life. So the choices that we make in life increases our chances of going in that right direction. But we still live in a fallen world, and we see bad things happen to good people. We just see that from time to time. Romans 5, let's get into the scripture here. For when we were yet without strength, see, Satan wants to take our strength away from us. He wants to, and I started to say this a while ago, the very thing that he wants to steal from you is your ability to choose. As you know, we do Celebrate Recovery here. Celebrate Recovery deals with addiction. What is addiction? It's a substance ultimately that takes away a person's power to choose. I've heard people say, well, if they really wanted to get free of that, they'd just quit. There's a lot of people who want to quit that can't quit because it has overtaken their power to choose. They're very weakened. They don't have the strength. And without an intervention, a divine intervention, they're not likely to be able to overcome that on their own. They need help. And that's one of the reasons that we do Celebrate Recovery here. That's another reason that we have AA and NA and John 3:16 and John 3:17 and all of these other recovery ministries that they're helping people fight these addictions because they don't have the strength within themselves to overcome that. And that's what sin does to us. So it says, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus didn't die for one godly person. You know why? There wasn't one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that does righteous. No, not one. We've all turned our back. We've all done those things. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were trying to do right. He died for us when we were at our worst, when we were doing wrong. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we will also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We have been restored to right standing with God through Christ. That's the story of the gospel. That is paradise regained right there. And so these things that we see happening in the world, those are the things that Jesus died for. And he is at work in the world to reconcile the world to himself through Christ. That is one of the reasons that you and I are still here in this earth today, the company of the redeemed, the church. We are to be messengers of this. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. And our message to the world is be reconciled to God. God is not mad at you. God hates sin, but he's not mad at you. And while you are yet in your sin, Christ died for you. He paid the price for you to be free. He paid the price for you to be saved. And you can be saved. That's why we're here. That's what we're all about. This part of the question, if he created us in Christ's image, why should or would we be born in sin? That's a good point we need to make here is because when we are born, we're born into sin. We're not born created in the image of Christ. Now, man was created in the image of God. He fell from that. When we were born under sin. Little babies that are born, I know this is going to raise some questions. Little babies, when they're born, they have sin nature in them. As cute as they are, as innocent as they are, they're very self-centered. Just don't feed him. Okay? You'll see sin inclination in children from a young age. They can be very selfish. It's just part of the nature of fallen man. We're not, even though we're created in the image of God, we fell from that, and now we're conceived in sin. It's not until we're born again that we're created in the image of Christ. There's the differentiation of the two. We're all born into sin. Now, I do believe that God covers innocent children, okay? I believe there's a grace that covers innocent children until we call it the age of accountability. I don't know that that's a biblical term, but I believe it's a concept that when we realize that we are lost, when we're sinful, and we need to come, we need a Savior that we can't save ourselves, then we become responsible for that choice. And I think that babies who die, who are aborted, even babies of unbelievers that are aborted, or children who die before they are baptized, we don't baptize children. I believe that children, you know, that don't understand, I think they're okay. I think the grace of God covers that. It's when we come to this accountability that we realize that, hey, I need a Savior. I'm lost. That we become accountable at whatever age that is. Okay. Got a question. Therefore, just as one man, though through one man sin entered the world. How did sin get into the world? It came through one man, Adam. And death through sin. That death has to do with disease and all of that. And thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. See, here's a good point. We think that the law was what made sin sinful. No. It just defined it. But from the time, see, Adam didn't have a law. Abraham didn't have a law. The law was given to Moses. But still, death reigned from Adam to Moses. It was still powerful. It was still killing people. It just wasn't defined. When it was defined, then man became guilty before God. And that was part of God's plan in defining it so that he could deal with it and judge it and bring Christ who could redeem us from the power of sin. But death is separation from God. Man was separated from God from the time of Adam's fall to the time of Moses, and adultery wasn't defined. A lot of these sins weren't defined. A law was not given. Hey, if there's no law out there, drive as fast as you want to. If there's no law, just go 120 miles an hour around every curve. Guess what's liable to happen? Death. Death will still work even though there's no law. The law defines the problem. Okay? That's what that did. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. See, we're all born into condemnation. He who has not believed on the only Son of God is condemned already. Okay? But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. I love verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned to death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Oh, I hear people say, well, hey, if I can receive eternal life and, you know, I can be free from sin and I can, and, you know, my sins are forgiven, it don't matter how I live. Well, Paul anticipated that question. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You know why? Because there are consequences to sin. Sin is still out there. Sin still kills, steals, and destroys. Yeah, but I'm forgiven. But yet, if you participate in a sin, if you get out there and go 120 miles an hour around every curve, it'll still kill you. I don't care how saved you are. God wants to protect us from our stupidity sometimes. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized to his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. He doesn't free us to sin. He frees us so that we can overcome sin. He frees us from addiction. He frees us from the things that control our life, because the sinful things that control our lives keep us from becoming who we were designed to be. Boy, that's good. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Believers are not condemned. Now, what's condemnation? Part of this question had to do with condemnation. Condemnation is a guilty verdict with consequences. Okay, that's condemnation. It's a legal term. Found guilty and executed. Judgment executed. Can I just tell you, every bad thing that I have done in my life, I was not found guilty. I was guilty, but I was not found guilty. And therefore, I will not be executed for the things that I have done in my past. Why? Because the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all unrighteousness. That's good. That's good. So does that mean there'll be no consequences? Because I still mess up. Does anybody here not mess up? Let me see your hand. We got one over here that don't ever mess up. We're going to deify her. No, we all mess up, don't we? Can there be consequences for stupid stuff that I still do? Absolutely. Is it a heaven and hell thing? No. But there are consequences to choices. There are two judgments that we want to talk about. We're going to close. Two judgments that we want to talk about. See, a lot of people think, well, at the end, we're all going to stand before God. We're all going to give account. And no, there's another judgment. It's a believer's judgment. In Romans 14:10, it says this. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is called the Bema judgment. Okay? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God, so that each of us shall give an account to himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. See, he's talking to Christians here. He says there is a Christian's judgment, and it is called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a heaven or hell judgment. It's a works judgment. And it's a judgment for reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "For we are God's fellow workers, you're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it." This is a Christian's thing here. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire." So this is a works judgment. The things that we have done in this life will be judged. And you will either be rewarded or suffer loss based on that work. It may have to do with your motive. It may be the things that you believe that were wrong. There will be a works judgment, and we will be rewarded for it. But there's another judgment. Now, a lot of Bible scholars think that this judgment takes place during the marriage supper of the Lamb, during the tribulation period, when the church will be raptured to heaven. This other one takes place after the 1,000-year millennial reign at the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne." This is called the white throne judgment. "And he who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works." How are the lost going to be justified by works? Guess what? They're not. "By the things which were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades," or hell, "delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Two separate judgments. One for the redeemed, one for the lost. We're not going to be condemned. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's good news. Who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. No, he doesn't give us a pass that we can just live any way we want to. We can go out and get drunk and raise hell and sleep around and cohabitate and all of those kind of... No, those things are not... Those are condemned. They go against the will of God. But why would we do those things if we've been freed from those things? Because those things will bring you right back into bondage. Listen, if you were ever addicted to anything and have been made free from it, why would you go back and do that again? Because it'll bring you back into bondage. It will kill, steal, and destroy your life. He freed us that we may bring glory to his name. That's why we were created anyway. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a song. Did you get anything out of that? This song is called Overwhelmed. Maybe you feel overwhelmed today. Let's stand and let's prepare to worship God today. Prayer team, would you come? If you're here today and you need to get something right with God, I'm not going to make a long invitation. You know what you need from God. If you need to be saved, come up here. They'll pray with you.